Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Right, from South African politics, the EFF and the like, to international politics, because this is equally as perplexing. It's really, really quite strange. $12 million allocated by a senior UN humanitarian official to Iran. The money comes from the Central Emergency Response, and that's a bit worrying, because we have seen what bad actors do with good money. We certainly saw that in Gaza with Hamas. Joining us this morning is Anne Hertzberg. She's the legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She's an expert in lawfare. And we wanted to get some more information around this. Anne, a very good morning. Starting with the basics, when we hear that the UN has allocated this type of money to Iran, who decides this? Where does this money come from?
Yes. Yeah, so the UN is an extremely Byzantine system financially. There are many pools of money that go into various agencies. One of the main agencies, and that is what the UN official who made this decision, Tom Fletcher, is the head of, is known as UN OCHA, which is the Coordinator for Humanitarian Affairs. And they operate several funds that they purport to use for humanitarian aid. But in tracing this aid and what the money is actually being used for is practically impossible to discern.
So how is the money allocated? What are the criteria that are used here?
Well, exactly. I don't even know what criteria he used in this case, because when you look at the announcement he made about Iran, it was full of false claims, such as thousands of civilians were killed in the fighting so far. I don't think we have any evidence of that. A lot of people have been killed, but most of them have not been civilians, from what we know. If any civilians were killed, it was in January by the regime or now. And in terms of the U.S. and Israeli attacks, those have been directed at military targets. So I am highly suspect of his claims that thousands of civilians have been killed, because as we see, OCHA is the primary, I would say, disseminator of propaganda that in Gaza and in southern Lebanon, that Hezbollah and Hamas combatants are always listed as civilians in OCHA's reporting. So they are simply not trustworthy on the data. I don't know what criteria was used to make this decision. And I think the other thing would be Iran has blocked off the internet for since before the war started.
Yeah, months now.
And so the people of Iran have no access to information or help, and all of this money, we darn know, is going to go to the regime and not to any humanitarian projects.
You know, if we look at this, this plays out in Iran, it's played out in Gaza, it's playing out in Lebanon. It's a constant theme. What it appears to me, and I'm trying not to be particularly dramatic in my statement, but it would actually seem as though, instead of the United Nations being a peacekeeping force or body in the world, it is actually, it's starting to look to me like it is a source of tremendous conflict, war, and danger in the world, that we would be so much better off without this body. Just tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you look at where Iran has its machinations, Yemen, Lebanon, Gaza, West Bank, Iraq, Syria. It has completely destabilized the region. It is engaged in conflict with all of its Gulf neighbors. It sits on a critical energy supply route through the Strait of Hormuz. One of its proxies controls the Mandal Bab Strait in the Red Sea. And they also, for decades, have been exporting terrorism around the globe. We can't forget the bombing of the Jewish Center in Argentina, the killing of Israelis in Bulgaria a few years ago. So many instances of terror and mayhem. And giving money to this regime to keep it in power is in and of itself a crime, plus what it's doing to its own people. And also, as we know, Britain, for instance, has said the IRGC is constantly conducting security threats. It's the most complex security environment they've ever had to deal with. Same thing in the United States. They've threatened to assassinate opponents of the regime. The list goes on and on and on. And unfortunately, people in the UN are either in the pocket of the regime or are so warped in their morals that they cannot see that eliminating this regime is for the greater good, will help the Iranian people, will stabilize the Middle East region. And the other thing that is very hard to understand is Europe's attitude. They're paying a little bit more money at the for gas, and they're unwilling to trade a few cents to get global stability. So to me, that's inexplicable.
So you know, would the world be better off without the United Nations, in your view?
Well, you know, I think some of the United Nations plays an important role as just serving as a forum for countries to get together to discuss things. Let's say the Security Council.
So it's a venue. They could do weddings, bar mitzvahs, and country meetings.
Right. Exactly. But when you get into the kishkas of the UN and they deliberately hide it, it's almost impossible to get an accurate accounting of where all the money goes. There's dozens and dozens of agencies and programs. Many of them are duplicative. Many of them are anachronistic. There is no point I think if you put a good estimate on it, probably 90 to 95% of what that body does.
It's absolutely incredible.
And they certainly should not be in charge of billions of dollars in budget. Definitely true.
In this case, are they going to be, is there any way to follow where this money goes so that it is allocated correctly?
Well, see, that's exactly the problem, because we saw this in Gaza. So the UN has very minimal, if any, vetting mechanisms. So, and they also, for instance, in Gaza, they don't believe Hamas is a terrorist organization, and they have no problem with money going to Hamas.
Right.
So they don't vet. When they do a program, let's say they run these cash beneficiary programs of hundreds of millions of dollars a year, they don't vet where the money goes. And we know from documentation we've gotten out of obtained that was taken out of Gaza, a lot of that money went to Hamas.
Yeah.
And so there is no way, and in any event, when you're looking at Iran, which is a totalitarian regime, there is no way that money is not going to be A, given to the regime, and B, distributed by the regime. There are no independent actors in Iran.
No,
so it's without a given, that money is a payment to the regime.
Is there any way
it's even going to go to anyone who really needs the help?
No, of course not. Is there any way that it can be challenged within the structures of the United Nations?
Well, the problem is donor. You know, the United States has stopped a lot of the funding, although recently they gave that agency over $1 billion. So even the United States, which is probably the only government that cares about where the money's going, has been pretty weak and negligent, in my opinion, on safeguarding the aid and basically writing a blank check to the UN. So that's really where the responsibility lies. It relies on the donor governments to hold them accountable. And unfortunately, we see very little will for that.
It's just so difficult to process because it is so absurd and it is so clear that this is deeply problematic, and yet somehow this seems to just be what happens at the United Nations. Anne Hertzberg, that is where we leave it, and is the legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She is an expert in lawfare. What do you think about that? Taking a look at some of your messages around Julius Malema, Anami says, hi, Howard. Read Julius Malema. History reminds us that dictators and despots arise during times of severe economic crisis. And Gail says EFF, in my view, is fascist. He does need to go to jail for his crime, but I fear the courts will be lenient. If he does go, will he be regarded as a martyr? Gillian says Malema won't go to jail like Zuma. He'll simply keep appealing. It is not a simple at all.